This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Noomi?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am very good. A bit cold, but good.
Yeah, but we are getting close to Christmas as we record. It's a week to go.
We are. You prepared?
Yeah, almost actually. I think I've finished Christmas shopping.
I have not even started.
Oh my God, so we're like
what am I doing?
Two opposites of the spectrum.
Usually I'm so prepared, and this year I feel like I've just had so much on. I've not even had like the mental capacity to even think about that. So I think tonight is the night where I just sit down and like sort this out.
Are you gonna do it like all online, or are you gonna go out, venture out?
I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna have to try and do a lot of it online, because if I venture out, there might not be anything left.
But we'll see. It's a difficult landscape out there.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I don't know how many presents I'm buying either. I am going to see quite a lot of family, so I might just buy for like the small people.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
The network expands so much, doesn't it, as you get older, because it's like, oh, my siblings, partners, family are here and the children are here. And
yeah, I hate leaving people out as well. Like, my mum always brought me up to include people. So
yeah.
I hate to be that one random kid that's just turned up for the first time and doesn't have a single present.
Yeah, yeah. So, or like, you know, you're halfway through and then someone goes, oh, this is your present. You're like, oh no, I didn't get you anything.
Yes.
I didn't know it's we always were on that so level. Awkward.
But then my level is like out of courtesy politeness. Like, I don't really expect anything back. But then I feel bad, like, say I think a few times I've bought like some of my older cousins, like maybe Christmas socks, just so they've got something so they don't feel left out. And then they're like, oh my God, I didn't buy her anything. And I'm like, mate, it was like a few quid at H&M. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
It's not that deep. However, maybe if you're listening and you're a bit last minute and you're looking for a gift, like a tech gift to give this Christmas, our first story, it felt right, you know, our last episode of the year, that we hark back to one of our biggest topics at the beginning of this podcast, which is smart glasses.
I'm laughing already because I'm like, yeah, we were rinsing these smart glasses.
And it was when, I think it was Snapchat, released their glasses, and Apple had just released their glasses. And we had this big discussion about, you know, stop trying to make smart glasses happen. It's not going to happen. They're only going to work if you team up with a big fashion brand. And then literally 2 days after we released that episode, Meta announced their glasses in partnership with Ray-Ban.
You know what? I feel like we're good at predictions here, because we did the same thing with Spotify Wrapped last week. You were like, "I bet it drops today." Boom.
Yeah,
literally drops later on that day.
It's true. We're obviously psychic, but just a little bit too late.
So we need to, well, maybe we'll be on time at some point. You never know. But yes, so we have a chat about what Meta have done with these glasses then.
Yeah.
So apparently the Meta glasses are going to introduce Shazam and live translation. Now, they've announced these new features and they're going to be rolling them out to the glasses that are out in production, the Ray-Ban ones. And they've also got live AI as well, but the live AI and live translation, they're limited to members of Meta's early access program, so it sounds like it's not fully ready for release, while the Shazam support is available for all users in the US and Canada. Now, these were teased at the Meta Connect in 2024 earlier this year, the live AI and the live translation, and what this does, it allows you to converse with Meta AI's assistant while it continuously views your surroundings. So, like, say you're just having a look through the produce section at a grocery store looking for some food, you'll theoretically be able to ask Meta's AI to suggest some recipes based on the ingredients you're looking at.
Wow.
And yeah, crazy. Meta's been saying users will be able to use the live AI feature for about 30 minutes at a time on full charge. Now, that's where it goes a bit downhill for me.
You have to be very efficient with your shopping.
Yeah. Like, and then if your glasses die, like run out of charge, you're not going to really be able to charge them on the go. So how realistic is it actually having these glasses if you can't really do much?
Yeah.
But I feel like this ties into lots of what we've been talking about, right? Like the energy usage behind AI and how powerful even just like small things or what might seem like small searches to us actually are and how much energy they use.
Yeah, it kind of captures it in quite an easy way to understand and visualize it. I do think that that's like that's such a cool use case that I hadn't thought of as well. And then obviously the impact of live translation would be really cool as well. If you're in like a foreign grocery store, if you're abroad and you're like, you know, maybe you've got an allergy. I've got a peanut allergy. So traveling for me is always, I have to, you know, one of the first things I have to do, it's like, right, what's thank you, what's hello, what's please, and what's peanut in this language. But with Meta glasses, I could just, you know, scan the ingredients and find out.
I think it's really, I'm trying not to say the word, interesting. I think it's good, but something that I have done in the past, I've used my phone and like Google Lens and stuff for this type of thing. Mm. So it makes me wonder, like I'm a glasses wearer when I'm not wearing my contact lenses. I have to wear them every day and I really dislike wearing glasses because I feel like they're just clunky and they get in the way. Mm. Maybe they'll release a contact lens version one day. But if these glasses are only going to last 30 minutes, for example, as they're saying right now, why would you not just use Google Lens on your phone and just get it out and hold it up? And like it's saying you need to download the languages onto your glasses and specify certain things, which sounds like that might be a bit hard to do. So I'm still wondering, like, is it going to be better to just use a camera lens and quicker and easier for the user than to have glasses on their face?
Yeah.
Because again, it's going to disrupt your line of vision to provide information to you. So like, are we going to look... I was about to say, we're going to look a bit weird, just sort of staring off into produce, like trying to work out what's in front of us.
Because we're trying to read these. Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And I think it's, I guess it's that thing that comes up with any kind of integration of new technology. Like, you know, for a while when internet access wasn't as strong on smartphones, you would have been like, well, I'm not going to use my phone for that. I'm going to do it on the laptop. Whereas now there are people that literally anything that they need to do on the internet, they will do on their phone. So, you know, maybe we'll get to that point where the battery life is better, that you won't, you know, lean on using your phone. You will just use the glasses. And I guess it's just that kind of progression and advancement of removing the need. Because, you know, what happens if your hands are full? Of the produce that you're buying at the grocery store and you can't get your phone out of your pocket, but you can say,
very true,
Meta, please look at this tomato. What can I do with it? But then...
Would you say it out loud?
Yeah, well, this is it. Is grocery shopping going to become really weird because you're just walking down the aisle of Sainsbury's and you're just hearing everyone go, what can I do with beetroot? Tell me what to use this parsnip for.
And then,
are you talking
to
me?
There's going to be noise as well. Yeah, like from other people. If everyone's asking for different like types of fruit.
No, I don't want a blueberry recipe. That's the person stood next to me. Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Imagine if they could use, I think we were talking about last week, that carbon 14 diamond battery. Like, if some sort of like battery that's, I don't know, big enough, I don't know, large enough to run the glasses. I'm guessing the battery won't be too wild, right? Because it's still got to fit on a nice pair of glasses. Yeah. Maybe something like that.
Maybe, or maybe it longer. You have like a very tiny cable that goes into a little power pack in your pocket.
Wireless charging as well, I guess. Maybe that'll be a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know what? I'm going to stop being a hater for smart glasses because clearly they're becoming useful and they're starting to look more cute, which is the only thing I was asking for.
Wow, look at us. So much growth.
I'm not taking my words back though. I stand on them.
I would like to try them.
What?
I would like to try before I buy.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if... I was about to say like the woman... roll them out to shops, but are there many Ray-Ban flagship stores? It might be sort of in more department stores that stock Ray-Ban that you might be able to try them, I guess.
Yeah. And a question as well, talking about this, you saying that, you know, I'm a glasses wearer as well. Do you think we'll start getting prescription smart glasses?
I think probably, yeah, that might be where it's heading, but I'd love to see smart contact lenses. I don't know how they're going to do that, though. Like, I don't know if I'd buy smart glasses like with prescription in, Because if your prescription changes, I guess you just have to change the lens, right? But I guess I don't know how it actually works. Like, we have to have specific lenses made by Google for these glasses to work.
Yeah, because it's also like, are the lenses themselves screens, or is something, is there like a little almost projector at the side that's like putting it on the glass?
Yeah.
Someone listening right now works in smart glasses and they're going to be like, these two people have no idea how this works.
But to be fair, like, it's valid. How is that information getting relayed across the screen? You know what? I'm going to have a look into it. Maybe after Christmas I'll know.
We can do like a little TED talk on smart glasses. Moving from screens in glasses to Samsung apparently slapping screens on everything. They've got this screen everywhere initiative. So you may have seen this before. People have joked about it a lot, like in tech and on the internet. They've got, you know, Samsung have smart fridges and they have screens on, and you can like tweet from your fridge. You know, it has an access to the internet, so it can offer a display. There's some fridges now where they can show you what's inside the fridge without you opening it, so you can like check for groceries, and you can also use it for entertainment purposes. So already available on the fridges, but they're now offering a 9-inch option. And they're putting 7-inch displays on their washers, dryers, and wall ovens. And they're also potentially going to make even smaller 4.3-inch displays available. So you can control the appliances and like connect them together, but you can also still use them for entertainment. So basically, you could theoretically watch Netflix on your washing machine.
Part of me's torn here about this, because part of me's like, you know what, this will probably make them way easier to use. It'll be like a nicer human computer interface, you know, you'll be able to go on there, click a few buttons and sort it out. But then part of me's also like, why do we need screens everywhere? Well, aren't people saying that it's like bad for your health to be like chronically online and always like, you know, looking at blue screens and stuff? I don't know.
And we saw that research in our previous episode about car users saying that they like physical buttons. You know, is Samsung going to do this? And then they'll do some user testing and the user tester will be like, no, I like a big dial on my washing machine.
You know what? I agree with like dials, and especially when it comes to ovens, I like being able to set the temperature with my like little knob. I should laugh. But I feel like there's lots of potential for mass error when you sort of get rid of that and make everything touchscreen, because as soon as that touchscreen goes, you have to replace the whole thing. You can't just, you know, change one of like the little buttons or switches, which is easy to do when it's not a touchscreen. But then at the same time, I'm sure they won't just break, because they're Samsung, and Samsung are amazing at designing and producing products. So
yeah, but it's also just like, I just don't know why you need that extra thing. Like, surely you could have like a chip in the machine and Bluetooth, and then interface it with an app on a phone. Like, if the whole idea is that you want to have multiple devices connected for like a smart home purpose, then I would just do that.
I'd rather have it like that. Yeah.
So that you could control it with your phone rather than through a separate screen.
Yeah, my washing machine's like that. I forgot the brand of it, but it is like, there is an app for it and you can just like do stuff on the app. I am a person that does forget quite a lot, so I always use the timer on the oven, but I have forgotten in the past and gone down to burnt food. So like a little app, you know, turning the oven on and off.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, I'm sure some people will want these screens on their products, because, you know, people love a bit of technology, don't they? But again, I'm just worried that we're going to turn into screens everywhere. Like, no new designs is happening. Like, why are we just getting like, you know, like just standard touch screens everywhere as like the next step? Is everything just going to turn into like really bland, kind of like the interior of a Tesla in a sense, where it's just one big screen,
just like so clean and glassy?
On
the other hand though, like, can you personalize them? So could you almost like have, you know, a lock screen, but it's your washing machine, so instead of having photos around the house, you just got photos on your different devices?
I mean, you could probably do that, but do you really need to? I don't know. And also, I've just read a little bit more at the bottom, and undoubtedly there'll be a great place to display ads. Obviously there was going to be something like that. See, I have read stuff, again, I don't know how true it is, but it does sound like it's feasible, that smart devices, Internet of Things devices, and I'm assuming screens like this can be really susceptible to, like, you know, security breaches. Yes. And people have turned them into like bots for DDoS attacks and stuff.
There was a news story, or a couple of news stories, about, is your air fryer spying on you?
Right.
So yeah, this is a good question of, like, you know, what if we are making these changes, do we also need to consider the security risks of them? Because they're obviously not as smart as like a phone or a laptop. They're a limited system because of space and functionality, you know, which then makes them more susceptible.
Right. And then if you think as well, what we were talking about last week, I think it was, when we were talking about the new supercomputers with, like, I can't remember how many, like, extra sort of units of, like, power and how quick it's going to take them to solve things. If we're worried about, you know, the cryptography and security breaches that could happen because of that computing power, like, how are we going to protect against people just hacking into our washing machines, fridges? You know what I mean?
Oh, like, no, they did it on an extra hot wash and now my shirt's dying.
No, but, like, say, for example, the screen comes with, like, a little camera in it or whatever. Like, as many screens these days do, could people spy through them? Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking of random nefarious people. Could there be, like, sound as well? Like, maybe if it's voice activated, like, I don't know.
You're giving all the hackers ideas.
I am just trying to protect us all. I'm here to serve and protect.
All right, let's move on to our final story of the week. Do you want to tell me about this?
Yes. So the first UK patients are being fitted with a microchip to treat sleep apnea. Now, if you're not aware of sleep apnea, I think I've had, like, sleep paralysis. It's probably not the same thing, but it's like when your airway becomes obstructed and your breathing repeatedly stops for several seconds or even minutes while you're asleep.
I've got a friend who has sleep apnea, and they have an apnea machine, which kind of
scary.
Helps keep your airwaves open. But it is scary because it's essentially, you know, like, you're essentially suffocating a little bit every night.
Yeah.
Like, your body just decides to, like, you know, not breathe. It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it's like, not today. I'm not doing it. I'm on strike. But yeah, so basically this new treatment, a surgeon will implant a chip on a critical nerve, and it could provide relief for about 8 million people in the UK with this condition, and it's linked to hypertension, strokes, heart attacks, diabetes, and, you know, even death. And they've started, well, surgeons have started implanting these chips on that nerve, and it's been helping people to breathe. And the first operations were carried out at UCL, so University College London hospitals. And if you just sort of read some of the reviews of people that have had it, and, you know, it's very brave, I think, of anyone, as soon as some technology comes out, to be like, I'm going to go do it. Basically, this lady called Natalie has said, as soon as she heard about this technology, the implant, she was so interested because nothing before had worked. And what the surgeons did was they made a little incision under her chin, and then they put that chip on a nerve, and that controls a muscle in her tongue. And what that does is it then sends a small electrical pulse to stimulate the nerve to move the tongue forward, and then it opens up those upper airways.
Oh, wow.
And it means patients are able to have a better night's rest and breathe. Crazy.
That's amazing.
And you can turn it on with a remote control or a smartphone app, or maybe even your washing machine at some points. I'm sorry, I had to throw that.
Right, let me just set a timer for my washing, and let's also start my sleep apnea anti-device. But yeah, it sounds amazing. She said that interruptions to her breathing, and Natalie, who's tried this out, have dropped by almost two-thirds. She said, I look forward to going to bed now. I go into a much healthier, longer and deep sleep. So
that is amazing.
Because they're saying here that it's currently being limited to people that can't use the machines, the CPAP machines, which is what my friend has. So I think it's great that they're kind of, you know, exploring different treatments for it. And you've got obviously an uninvasive treatment and then an invasive treatment because this is an implant. But kind of amazing that it's just like a small little, you probably can't even notice it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds, I don't know, whoever came up with this idea... Like, well done, because it's so random, but sounds so effective.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like it's just tickling a nerve and then just moving tongue.
So that takes us to the end of this week's episode and our final episode before Christmas. So we're having a little holiday break. We're breaking for Christmas and New Year and the first week of January. So we will next be back with an episode on the 17th of January. So put a little note in your diary. That's when we'll be returning.
Exciting times. I've already got one in mind ready to record.
And we will wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Likewise. Have a great time, everyone. Remember to check us on socials as well. We're on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts. It's Tech Girl Energy.
See you there.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.